On today's episode, an emergency
pod of the Glue Guys. Back-to-back emergencies, Mike.
A very special episode of the Glue Guys. Kyrie Irving has been traded to the Dallas Mavericks, something we've been tracking for a little bit for now.
Well, only a little bit. That happened lickety-split. Mike, let's get into it. No more.
Let's talk about it.
Get in there.
Guys, this is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself behind the paywall at TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. And for all you Kyrie water carriers.
They're not even here anymore, Mike. They're already.
Check us out on NewYorkTimesCompany.com.
they're on the Mavs subreddit already. You know, mixing it up, like spreading.
They're just talking Mavs all day, buddy. God damn, man. It happened.
It happened. How do you feel, Mike? Is it
the Wicked Witch of Newark?
That's how you feel?
I'm so happy. I mean, so, okay, this is all tinged, and we have to kind of lay the ground rules here for you and I, because
okay. I'm not going to follow your rules, Mike. I'm not following rules tonight.
I am so extremely happy. I am so happy that this destructive force of a basketball player is off the team. I know there's a lot of mixed feelings, people feeling like Sean Marks has fumbled the bag, that just give the guy his extension. Then the Nets can go on and win 12 championships in a row. There is that thought out there from a minor bubble of Nets fans that are very vocally loud on Twitter. There's a tinge of uncertainty because we don't know how Kevin Durant feels about the Kyrie Irving trade to Dallas.
Yeah.
And we're recording this at 9:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so that is going to hang a cloud over the whole proceedings here. But in my heart, in my soul, I am so relieved, happy, elated.
Yeah.
I compared Kyrie Irving to Donald Trump and Mike Connolly to Joe Biden on the last podcast that we had on some level. And it feels like, you know how they couldn't call the election for like 5 days
because
they had to count those ballots in Fulton County and Maricopa County and Clark County.
Yeah, we'll call it count them. We will. For the sake of,
you know, throw them into the pile. Exactly. That's what they were doing. Yes. Turning the machines on from Guatemala.
Bingo.
And
now,
jacking in the codes.
Now you're talking my language.
We've been living in, you and I have been living in the saga. Nets fans have been living in the saga. How you feel about Kyrie going from all the way back from the moment he signed with this team, probably even extending further back. Remember the classic D-Lo Kyrie debates that we were having. And now we are here.
You know what?
It's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag because I don't know what Kevin Durant feels. But if I can remove the Kevin Durant factor out of here for just a second, then I am extremely happy with what happened. I think with Kyrie Irving, the Nets could not win an NBA championship. He has proven time and time again to be that unreliable, and I am chef's kiss excited for that 2029. Mavericks first round
the way unprotected. The way that it happened, I find is part of the narrative arc. I think it's an important part too, because there are some rumblings online as to whether, you know, this was like a bluff or anything like that, and that he was trying to do some kind of advanced negotiations for this contract, so on and so forth. And Nets immediately called the bluff. They were like, this is not a Kevin Durant situation. We're not going to play nice and like do this whole thing for another 3 months. Instant trade, call your bluff, boom, you're gone. And I really appreciate the speed and decisiveness with which this all came to pass. Because if this is a whole other thing, we drag this on and we can't, it's like, the prices aren't right. It was just, there was no rumors, but for the Russell Westbrook stuff that everyone kind of knew about, and then announced a trade a day later. I think it was handled very well on that side of it because, sorry, you look like you want to say something.
No, I'm listening to you. I'm actively listening.
Yeah, because the whole course of the Kyrie Irving experience is this, if you give a mouse a cookie kind of, you're just chipping away at at the boundaries, right? Boundaries between front office, players, you know, he wants to co-manage the team. He wants to co-coach the team. He wants to, it's this like slow kind of erosion of the traditional roles of you're a player on this team, dude. You're just, you're a really good player on this team, but that is the role you inhabit right now. And, you know, there are versions of it where you can be the leader, but that hasn't, from day one, that was never really the case. And so in this case, it was, I think, handled really well. But yeah, I mean, just to go back to your question of like the whole narrative arc, I mean, I think that was a good ending to it. I am thankful that we can finally move. Like there is, it's the last vestiges of those types of conversations that are still in our like Twitter, like, cause it's just like the day it happened. So these people have not yet put like Mavs paraphernalia into their Twitter bios and stuff yet. But like the last vestiges of the Kyrie fans who are still replying, is just like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like that. It's just funny now. it's just fun. It's nice.
And it's Spencer Dinwiddie. He's back.
It's not my problem anymore. And it feels so free. It feels so free.
It's Spencer Dinwiddie, friend of the show. We had Spencer Dinwiddie on our podcast. Brian,
we came up grabbed at the same him time.
Off of Facebook.
That's right.
Like when he was on his first contract with the Nets, when he was still oscillating between being a 10-day contract guy, Brian grabbed him off Facebook because he knew, as Brian's background is right now for the YouTube audience, he was into Dragon Ball Z, and we have a long-term relationship with Spencer. He follows us on Twitter, which is the most important thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
Bri.
Yeah.
This is, it is like, I don't know if you ever watched The Good Place, NBC sitcom by Mike Schur. But the point of The Good Place, season one, I'm not really ruining anything, is that The Good Place is, in fact, the bad place. And when Kyrie Irving joined this team June 30th, 2019, Nets fans thought they were in the good place. They thought they were in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, right? That was the clean sweep that was here. Garrett Temple also was part of part of the signings as well. People forget about GT. And we thought that we were in heaven. We thought championships were on the way. The new super team was being built in Brooklyn. And Kyrie, at every step of the way, has let this fan base down, let his own team down, and it ended poetically.
Yeah.
The fact that he has such poor representation, such poor management, such poor advice, that whoever is in his corner, and we kind of know it's just basically his family at this point, I'm sure there's some like business advisor on some level too, told him, hey, the Nets are third or fourth in the East. You know, you guys are doing pretty well without Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant comes back, you guys are going to go for a championship run. So what we're going to do is we're going to press for a new contract right now because we have this beautiful leverage over the Nets. Oh, they're going to cave like they didn't cave before the start of the season. Like, oh, we're going to show them.
Yeah.
And guess what happened, Kyrie?
Overplayed your hand badly.
You overplayed your hand. And you know what Dallas is already saying? They're already saying, we don't know if we're going to give Kyrie a full contract and he may be a rental. And do you know what world that's going to leave Kyrie in? So, okay, he's going to a pretty good situation overall. So it's not like he's being sent to, I don't know, like the Utah Jazz at the moment, right? He's being sent to play next to Luka Doncic. And Mavericks fans, trust me, Brian and I have had this conversation for years with Kyrie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to look so great to play off of James Harden or Kevin Durant. There's going to be no playing off of each other between Luka and Kyrie, particularly right now. What it's going to look like is like one guy scores and then the other guy scores. There's going to be no relationship between the two guys on the court, right? That's just not going to happen. Kyrie just massively overplayed his hand. Now, totally screwed the Nets. So it's not like this is a magical win.
It's weird because it's like, yeah, we had been like, you know, firing on all cylinders up until very recently and potentially like a number one seed in the East. So this, it is kind of a weird thing to be celebrating this at this time. It is just like, it just feels like, it's like an unforced error for Kyrie, but it's one of like so many, or I don't even know. Maybe we should take them at face value and be like, maybe he really did want to get a trade now, or like he just still had this like lingering resentment from over the summer. I don't know. Maybe that's a thing to loft your way too. I like setting the precedent though of like, hey, if you request a trade, unless you're Kevin Durant, we're gonna honor that.
Yeah, because when KD probably could. We were joking before the show about LeBron tweeting out. What did he say? why to me or something?
Like, yeah, I guess it's me or yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I guess it's me.
It was a real like looking at his sneakers and like shuffling, like kicking a pebble.
It's the Arthur hand meme where he's like clenching his fist.
Well, that's different. That's a totally different meme.
But doesn't that mean like he's frustrated? Like he's
that's angry.
It's frustration. Kevin Durant must be like, what do I have to do? James Harden quits basketball with the Nets and he gets traded. Kyrie does this thing, gets traded in 48 hours. I requested a trade of the summer and they didn't do shit for me. Now, again, I think we need to have the Kevin Durant just like straight ahead conversation. Of course, that's the most important thing. So like, how does Kevin Durant feel? Does he come in and say, at least for this season, I want to roll forward? Because, you know, of the Nets, if they want to contend for anything, Kevin Durant has to be part of the picture. No matter what, even if he plays this season and then this summer he decides, okay, I want to be traded, that shifts the team to a totally different realm, right? Then they're going to trade him for hopefully 5 first-round picks, and then this team goes into quick rebuilding mode and all that stuff. But I think it's important because we can't answer that question to focus on what actually happened, right? The Nets get back Spencer Dinwiddie, which if you haven't been watching the Mavericks of recent, he has gotten, since his ACL tear, better and better over the time. That was like 2 years ago now, was his ACL tear, or whatever the knee injury was that led him then to Washington, and then, of course, led him to Dallas. Dorian Finney-Smith, who is a guy who a lot of people love in the NBA.
Can I say that I've been lurking on the Mavs subreddit all day pretty much since this happened. That's my favorite thing to do. You go to the other team's subreddit. Yeah.
It's a Schadenfreude podcasting.
They love them some DFS, Mike. They're big. They're huge Dorian Finney-Smith.
You know who also is a big Dorian Finney-Smith fan?
No. You?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant has talked about liking Dorian. If you don't know who Finney-Smith is, he's a 6'7", 220-pound wing defender. Sure, he doesn't score a bunch, but he's the kind of guy who, you know, he's the kind of guy who we maybe thought Royce O'Neal would be, right? Like, he's a better defender than Royce O'Neal. He's a bigger defender than Royce. He has played with Luka all this time. He knows how to play next to a star. He's beloved in Dallas. You talk about the fans, he's beloved within the team. But he was one of the few assets that Dallas had to be able to make any kind of move. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was kind of out of the market. He also has a contract where I think it's the first year of a 4-year deal at around 12 to like $14 million.
Yeah, it's between, so it's 13.5 right now, I think.
And so another, there's so many elements to this, and we got to talk about it all right here. But the sneaky thing that the Nets did was they turned a guy who was on an expiring deal who indicated that he did not want to be here past this season, Kyrie Irving, and turned him into Dinwiddie, who has one more year left after this, and Finney-Smith, who has 3 or more years, I think, after this, right? So what they did was they got guys who cost less, who had longer-term deals, who then can be aggregated into trades this offseason with other pieces. If you put together Dinwiddie, Finney-Smith, and Joe Harris, you have yourself a max player. So like the Nets have created, there's so many layers that they created flexibility. They maintain competitiveness. Brian, think about somewhat the defense here.
I mean, how competitive are we really? I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Love Spencer. Take a sip of Pinot Gris, Mike. Why don't you? Wait your whistle. I love Spencer. I think it's, you know, does it mean that we're still in the like top four in the East, Mike? I'm not sure.
Let's evaluate what we think maybe were the trades. Okay. This trade, which is, you know, the first round pick is really a good asset. Just for people's accounting numbers, it's a 2029 first round pick, unprotected. An unprotected pick is just no matter what scenario.
You never know what's going to happen. Could be anything.
You never know what's going to happen. Luka Doncic's contract runs out in 2027. Do you know who's on Luka's team? Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Has Kyrie shown to be a guy who creates a system that like is sustainable?
Kind of fails over time. Yeah, it seems to be the case. Yeah.
It's kind of like it's a Trojan horse by the Brooklyn Nets.
You think that there's like a tacit bet on the fact that like I bet you Kyrie is going to blow this thing up by 2029 and we'll reap all the benefits.
Yeah, and Luka will be in Brooklyn or playing overseas for some odd crazy reason because maybe at that point
that is crazy. Yeah,
and Dallas will have absolutely nothing going on. Okay, so look at the potential trades that like seem like Russell Westbrook and a pick. Let's just remove the picks because they're kind of hard to sort of rationalize. Would you rather have Russell Westbrook or Spencer Dinwiddie?
I mean, I know we talked about this with Chris Paul, and I think we chose Chris Paul over this. I would not choose Russell Westbrook over Spencer Dinwiddie in a vacuum. I don't think I would do that. I mean, and that's with nostalgia, you know, aside, trying to take that out of the picture, which it's really difficult. There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
So good to have him back. Gosh, that's a fun guy. That's a fun story, having him back.
Well, after the Wizards game, when Cam Thomas, the guy that we made fun of plenty on the show, scored, 44 points?
44.
Edmund Sumner scored high 20s, low 30s, something like that. And they beat the Wizards. You know, I had to fire off, are the Nets better without Kyrie, on Twitter. Just had to fire it off. That's the brand. I think Dinwiddie right now is a better player than Westbrook. He's a better defender. He can fit into more lineups. I mean, the thing is, I have no clue what they're going to do with Ben Simmons, but like Dinwiddie at least is a semi-decent shooter. And you could construct lineups where whether it's Clax or Ben Simmons out there, and then it's like a group of KD wing defending 3-and-D types and Dinwiddie, who's 6'5". And there's some defensive statistics on Dinwiddie that shows that he's a bad defender, BAD bad. Part of that is that because he guards typically the best guard on the other team, because Luka's not doing that, right? So Spencer's getting roasted by the strongest position in the NBA, where in this scenario, here's the defensive lineup the Nets can trot out, and it's a credible lineup, and I would probably take Ben Simmons out of it to make it even more credible. Dinwiddie, Royce O'Neal, DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith, KD, and Claxton. That you still have shooting, you have ball handling, you have the scoring from KD, you have everything you could want in that lineup, and that is everyone's 6'5 and above, Nets switch on defense already. Kyrie has always been the weak link on defense. If I'm going to give him credit, he's tried somewhat hard, but he's still...
He does his thing. He's got a unique thing of high risk, somewhat
still
reward.
6'1 like, and weighs 180.
No, he's 6'3. He's 6'3, Kyrie. On paper. Okay. On paper. But yeah, I take your point. In general, he's a unreliable defender. We'll call it
no,
that.
He was a completely picked on defender.
Okay.
Completely picked on. And that when you do a switching defense, you find the weakest link. And Kyrie was always the weakest link in any matchup for the most part for the Nets. And now with the switching defense, the Nets actually have something. So I'm not tricking myself into thinking that they're better. I do think there are positives that come out of with this lineup change that, you know, with Kyrie, there were some negatives. Obviously, there's a massive gap between the two. How do you feel? I mean, like, have you already moved it into your mind that Kyrie wasn't going to be here?
You know, I move on fast from things. The only thing that feels like unfinished business for me, obviously, is the Kevin Durant situation. I would love it to hear a little bit from his camp about what he's thinking, how he's feeling. Maybe that's not something I want, actually, because I'm a little bit worried about what he might say. But it feels like there's still this lingering unfinished business of, okay, so what happens with how good of friends are they really? And if this is just, you know, a failed experiment with Kevin Durant as well, that'll be really a difficult portion of this as well. So like, doesn't it kind of still feel like there's this whole other part of the story that needs to develop? I mean, let alone the fact that Woj, and I don't know where this was, I saw a comment on this that he was on TV saying that the Nets aren't done with this trade deadline, and that, you know, there's still things to be done to make them competitive today. And I think that maybe is a, just if I can play tinfoil, hat wearing, that like that's maybe where the conversation is with Kevin Durant right now. He's like, okay, you know, but I still want to play for a championship this year. What can you do for me? What can you do for me lately kind of business, Mike?
So we have some new information from Chris Haynes. Nothing to do with Kevin Durant. He says the Lakers proposal did include the team's two first round picks, 2027, 2029, and we assume Russell Westbrook. He says the Phoenix Suns offered Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, in unspecified picks. Now, if you're Sean Marks, you get the offer. So unspecified picks, I'm going to guess that if they're saying unspecified, it means not first round picks. You know, it's just like a weird way of like, you don't know what picks. You knew that the Lakers offered two first round picks, and we know that the Mavericks offered their unprotected 2029. Okay, so then what did the Suns offer? Would you rather have Chris Paul and Jay Crowder or Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie. Here's what I'll say. Dorian Finney-Smith is a way better player than Jay Crowder. Way better.
Yeah.
Okay, we haven't seen Jay Crowder play basketball in a while. It's then it comes down to, okay, Chris Paul versus Spencer Dinwiddie. And we both kind of agreed that Chris Paul was like very interesting, just from the sense of you know, you put him next to KD, is there like a recharged, you know, last dance, final run in Chris Paul to get this done? Obviously, he's highly respected. You know, there's everything that Chris Paul is. You know, he used to be elite and very recently brought a team to the NBA Finals. Whereas Spencer Dinwiddie, who we love, you know, friend of the show,
huge,
Bri,
huge.
Isn't Chris Paul. Does that recast your thinking of Sean Marks at all? Or do you think it's, what is it, 6.5, you know, six whatever, half dozen in the other?
Yeah, 6.5 dozen. I don't think it's 6.5 dozen, and I don't think that because I think the Chris Paul contract, I don't know how many more years is on it. I
can tell you, it had one more year after this year. Then it was a non-guaranteed final year after that.
Okay.
So technically, it would only be option? One more year. From what I could tell on Spotrac, it's just non-guaranteed. The contract would have to be picked up by June 28th, you know, going into like the right before free agency.
Yeah.
I think that indicates to me that it was a team option.
Yeah. I like these kind of contracts, especially the Dorian Finney-Smith contract, very nice to have that $13 million sweet spot. There's not a lot of them out there. There's not that upper middle class kind of in the NBA as much. It's a little bit haves and haves nots. So I like that makes us a little bit more flexible trade wise and just kind of mixing and matching parts. When you get that Chris Paul trade, you're locked in on that identity for at least a short while. And especially if it doesn't go well or whatever, you know, he is old. I think he's 36 now. You're taking a flyer, pretty expensive one, and you're banking on that history of him being a leader and all that stuff. And I think it's fun. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm like poo-pooing it because it is close. But I like that flexibility. I think this strategy it makes sense to me.
And even though I said remove the picks, again, from the Chris Haynes tweet where he's not fully saying what the unspecified picks are, I'm guessing the Suns did not put in first round picks, or even if they could, I don't know what their first round pick situation is. And the 2029 Mavs pick is a very interesting thing, and we'll talk about this later in the show. The Woj has reported this. The Nets aren't done. The Nets are so deep, and they have so many pieces that they should trade right now. That it's, oh, and Shams just tweeted out his like big insider story, which I will dig through as we're talking. Okay. But they're so deep that they have to make another trade. They have to make another trade, one, to convince, you know, Kevin Durant that this is the team to be at and for, you know, let's make him very happy. And of course they want to win a championship. And they just have like a ton of dudes. They have way too many. If you look at the roster, they're adding a wing to a roster that already had Joe Harris, Seth Curry, Royce O'Neal, Yuta Watanabe, you know, TJ Warren is going to be back soon. Does Cam Thomas deserve more time after scoring 44 points? I know he's on a wing, but it's a decent game. Let's do this quick break. Coming back, we're talking more about this deal. And I'm going to talk just quickly about who Spencer Dinwiddie is right now, who Dorian Finney-Smith is. And then I have some home run trades that we got to talk about.
Let's do it.
And we're back, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Just real quick. I mean, we've been talking about Dinwiddie abstractly. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about him personally. Let's talk about him statistically.
Okay.
He's averaging 18 points per game this year, shooting 40% from three, shooting more three-pointers per game than he's ever has. Six per game on 40.5%.
Okay, Spence.
A very solid percentage. He's shooting 50% on twos, which is about as high as he's done since like his heyday in Brooklyn. He is formed very nicely into the secondary guard next to Luka. But if you had to rank him as a point guard in the NBA in terms of best point guards in the NBA, he's somewhere more towards like the lower end of the middle of the pack, if that makes sense, right? Like I think there would 16th. Be teams that
we'll call it
16th. You put him right there. You got you update your rankings.
Yeah.
So he is surely a very good player. He is not Kyrie Irving. Who's Dorian Finney-Smith? Dorian Finney-Smith is a 6'7", 220, Wing.
I like it. You keep saying that 220. You're
astounded.
You're a big heft guy.
He is never been a scorer in his career. He's averaging 9 points per game. He shoots 30. He is averaging a 36% 3-point shooter over his career. He's been fairly consistent. He takes about five of them a game. He's always kind of within that range. He's an okay free throw shooter, not a creator, but he is a wing defender. And he's been a piece that this team has needed for a long time. Those two guys are very good. I think adding them to the mix, the Nets have to make another move. Do you believe the Nets have to make another move to make KD happy, if that's how, or to compete for a championship, which I think is the same thing? I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think they're both, you know,
I do think it's a similar inclusive thing, for sure. Give me some trade ideas. I know who you have in mind, but I don't want to give it away.
I don't think you do.
Oh,
did you look at my list?
No, I didn't. I know Joe Harris is on your list. You son of a gun. I know he's on there. Okay. Just say it.
So one thing I will say, Dorian Finney-Smith, not a great shooter. Okay shooter, not a great shooter. Nuno Niclaxson, horrible shooter, but great around the rim. This only increases my urgency to get rid of Ben Simmons. Only increases the need to get rid of Ben Simmons. And you know, there's a rumor out there the Nets had been talking to the Raptors as well, not about Kevin Durant, it seems, and not about Kyrie Irving. So is that Joe Harris? Is that Ben Simmons? I still think there are a handful of teams in the NBA who would be interested in getting their hands on Simmons, particularly teams like Toronto, the Jazz, the Pacers, these teams that are like too good to really tank, but also are not going to win a championship this year. And are they interested in like kind of grabbing him? The Spurs are another team who is tanking, but could maybe use him. I am desperate for this team to make another deal. They need to. They have too many good players. And you know, I'm about to praise Sean Marks, right? I think he did a pretty incredible job in a quick circumstance to handle a completely unrealistic person in Kyrie Irving. Here's what Shams Charania says. The Nets now have three first-rounders to use via trade, as well as several players who could garner interest across the league. Rival executives expect Brooklyn to canvass the market for deals to surround Durant with more talent. There are a couple of names that immediately come to mind. John Collins, Zach LaVine. I think if Zach LaVine's available, why is DeMar DeRozan not available?
Yeah.
Because to me, the deal that I would really, like, people are like, Zach LaVine needs to come to the Nets. He would slot in nicely next to Dinwiddie. You get a ton of scoring, you get a ton of shooting, a ton of shot creation, all the stuff. He is horrible on defense. And everything I like about this, and so I'm not saying DeRozan's great. I would rather have DeMar DeRozan. Whatever the construction of the deal is, it would be Ben Simmons for DeRozan, and then there would be other things around it.
Yeah.
I love the idea of, I mean, if there's anyone in the league who is, not that DeRozan is Kyrie, but if they operate similar and just being like a nuclear bomb of offense, an individual, ISO, unstoppable threat, clutch scorer, I like DeRozan next to Dinwiddie. Get Ben Simmons off this team. Like, we have to fully get away from these people that are unreliable on the team. We have to eat, pray, love our way through the NBA, Brian. You ever watch Eat, Pray, Love, the movie?
I don't. No, I haven't.
With Julia Roberts.
I know what the poster looks like, for sure.
There's also this movie with Reese Witherspoon where she goes hiking. I forget what that's called.
The one about the book.
The Walk or something. Oh,
God, this is, somebody's going to be screaming into the phone right now.
I don't know if many people are going to be screaming about this movie where she goes hiking. Do you think people
It's based on the book.
Wild. Laura Dern is in it too, as well. Another goddess.
So we're going to do that. You know, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this too, which is like Kevin Durant. I'm trying to put his, like, what he values in getting a player back. Because, like, Ben Simmons used to be a star player and is really not anymore, but he's a name, right? It's like it's a name that NBA people are super familiar with. Like, some of the, like, if we were to like, is Kuzma and Spencer Dinwiddie for Kyrie and Ben Simmons, is that going to make, on paper, does that pass the sniff test from Kevin Durant? Or, you know, any of those types of, like, Zach LaVine, sort of like, you know, great, good players, really good players. But do they have that same kind of, like, you know, because he's going to be nostalgic in his own right for a certain kind of caliber of player, Mike. And I'm worried that it doesn't, that even if you bring these guys back, it's not going to pass the sniff test.
I mean, it certainly, Chris Paul is the nostalgia play.
Right, exactly.
And here's an interesting element. Shams is chock full of information.
Okay.
Right now. I'm just going to kind of read through it, or I'll just kind of react in real time.
Great.
In the days after Irving and the Nets reached impasse the contract dispute, the Lakers requested and received permission from Brooklyn to speak to Kyrie's agent, according to league sources. The Lakers vice president of basketball operations, Rob Plank, was given the okay to talk to Irving's agent, his stepmom. However, his stepmom did not hear from any member of the Lakers front office.
What does that mean?
The Lakers were informed that they did not have a suitable deal, that Russell Westbrook was not exactly
Say that sentence again. What they didn't actually talk to the Lakers? Is that what came from it?
No, that Kyrie's stepmom did not talk to the Lakers. No one from the Lakers actually reached out to his stepmother.
Oh, interesting.
Meaning that, like, they were not even going to engage in talking about a contract offer. The whole reason why you would talk to the agent is to figure out a contract offer. And the Nets basically immediately told the Lakers that Russell Westbrook would just not do it. To go in on the Phoenix Suns, it seems like the Suns offered Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, and a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. So I have to amend what I said about Chris Haynes. But Shams reports it's believed that three first-round picks from the Suns would have clinched the deal. But the Suns never added those picks and failed to make it a better offer, and beginning to lose interest in a trade for Irving as time went on. The Suns did themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the Mavericks jumped in, and they went crazy. And, you know, they threw whatever they threw at the Nets, which wasn't that crazy, but ultimately that's what happened.
Yeah.
God, if the Nets could have gotten three first-round picks,
that would have
Chris
been.
Paul and Jay Crowder, I would have been celebrating in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I am happy. I am happy that this saga is over. I mean, just to get it back on basketball, not to make it personal, not to make it like, you know, a guy who tweeted out an anti-Semitic film, promoted it, and didn't seem to care that he did, and didn't apologize for a while. You know, I'm not going to make it personal about that. What I will say is that part of winning a championship in basketball is ultimately a level of consistency. Kyrie had that consistency when he was in Cleveland. Like, before Kyrie left Cleveland, the only thing you could really say about him was that he didn't like the earth being round, it seemed like. And he got hurt sometimes. You know?
Like, he considered he didn't like that part of it. He just didn't really
conceptually figure it out. Ever since as he got older, he got weirder and less reliable.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair, not personal thing to say.
I mean, flat earth is pretty weird, man. You got to be pretty weird to be. I mean, I don't have any. Do you have anyone in your life that doesn't believe in the spherical earth?
Don't you think we should have, like, that really should have, that really should have tipped us off, as opposed to being just like a silly thing, right? Yeah. It's like a real, like, hey, got to watch out for this guy.
Yeah.
I think his name is Alex Kirshner. He's a reporter, used to do a lot of college football reporting. He tweeted out that, like, what a great idea. Send Kyrie to where JFK got assassinated.
Yeah.
Not like there's any conspiracy theories about that. Yeah. It is, you know, and so I don't think that this team, I mean, particularly with Kevin Durant every year either being injured or getting injured, that Kyrie was just a bad element on this team, as electric as he is. And for Mavericks fans, what they're thinking about, and Nets fans, we know what this conversation is. They're all imagining, oh my God, we're about to have the best offense in NBA history. We are going to have Luka Doncic, who is better than maybe James Harden ever was. And we're going to have Kyrie Irving, who, when he plays, is just nuclear, is another, again, the term I'll use. And what it will be is, like, yeah, when they play together, there'll be some games when they score 150 points and it looks absolutely startling and amazing, and how's anyone going to stop them? And then there's going to be a game where Kyrie's not playing because, I mean, ultimately, if he's unhappy with his contract and he's not getting one right now from Dallas, does that, like, why is that good? Like, yeah. How is that going to solve any issue?
I mean, I'll even point to, I mean, again, just last year's playoff sweep. You know, we had, it was one good game of Kyrie, three stinkers, played right there alongside big minutes next to Kevin Durant in the heart of his prime, the very deepest part of his prime. And we got swept off the floor. So like, anyways, I just think that we can keep going back to that as a data point of like, yeah, I know it was a wacky season and it wasn't wacky for no good reason. But like Kyrie Irving is such an interesting kind of player. And I think like in the annals of NBA history, he will be like the sort of most kind of compelling, like every team that he goes to. And I imagine that there's going to be more teams that want to try out the experiment. It's interesting because it's so hard to put your finger on why it doesn't work. There's just something, it should work. He is, we've done this before, this exercise of just looking at his, like, you know, field goal numbers by efficiency. They're spectacular. Everything that he does on the court looks amazing. And it just never seems to, I mean, but for the fact that he won a championship, yes, you know, all credit where it's due. But in recent history, there's just something that isn't quite fitting right. And even more adding to the fuel to that fire is like all the players around him will talk nothing but like say kind things about him nonstop. There's no like animosity on an individual level for anybody. And it's sort of how you feel as like a fan. It's like, what? It's very gaslighty. I feel you go crazy thinking like, why isn't this working better? Like we should be winning championships and we're just not.
It's because we hold on to the high moments more than we do the fact that like he misses, whether he's suspended for an anti-Semitic video, whether he can't play basketball because he does not get vaccinated. Like we still hold on to the first game we saw him play against the Minnesota Timberwolves in 2019, when he was incredible. And we're like, that imprints in our brain more than a tweet where we see that he's suspended.
Yeah.
Right. And we're always sort of waiting for Kyrie to be consistent. And he never was. Like we've had enough time. It is now 2023. And the Nets first got him in 2019. There has simply been enough time for us to get the full Kyrie experience. And every fan base now feels this way. The Cavs feel this. Cavs fans felt this after he left. The Celtics fans certainly felt it after he left. The Celtics fans, I mean, I will, you know, we are a Nets podcast. When the Nets got Kyrie, we had to do our duty. We had to go to those front lines and make fun of the Celtics and say, we got your guy for nothing. We didn't have to do anything to get him, and we got him. And they were all saying to us, just wait. Just wait till you hear about all the stuff that's going to swirl around this guy. He's so completely unreliable. And we're like, we don't care. We got Kevin Durant and DeAndre Jordan. And slowly and surely, like the virus in Last of Us, it's not a virus. It's a fungi. It's a fungi. You know who's a fungi? You. You're a fungi. You get it? It's a joke. It's like a science joke. You know, flat earth.
Got him.
Anyways.
Nice.
And it's actually that was a very quick fungus, right? Because very quickly, are you watching The Last of Us yet?
I have. I've watched the episodes. I've enjoyed it.
So very quickly from that flour mill in Jakarta,
yeah, right in the pancake
Indonesia
mix.
It goes right to the rest of the world.
How fast is it getting into pancake mix? How many pancakes are people eating?
Yeah, I know, that's what I was thinking. It's like,
are people eating like shitloads of pancakes in their life? You gotta watch out for that. Out of a box, that's gotta be
pancakes, cereal, a lot of flour. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of flour out there, and I guess a lot of it comes from Indonesia.
From Jakarta. Is that where it comes from?
I thought a lot of it comes from here in America. Like, do you know that flour in, you know, I was watching there's that show on Netflix about the best chefs in the world. God, I forget what it's called. They have a series
Chef's
about
Table? Is it
Chef's Table? They have Chef's Table's pizza about pizza.
Yeah.
And a lot of the grain
Arizona,
and it gets sent over to Italy, and they mill it in Italy, and then it gets sent back to us if we want Italian grain. It's really made here in America, so maybe they should have had the fungi start here, right here in the U.S. of A. Ipso facto, the Nets.
Do you know? But I wanted to tack on that part of my 23 and Me. 15% Italian, Mike. 15%, nothing to sneeze at. From Apulia,
and then, that's 80% Neanderthal,
just Italian.
What was it? Really 80%.
Of the people that have Neanderthal genes, I was in the 80th percentile.
Oh, I thought you said, I thought you were 80% Neanderthal.
No, that would be like, dangerous.
I was a little worried about you. I was like,
I can't tie my shoes, so I don't know. You know, whatever.
Did the Egans live in a cave for thousands of years until just your dad's generation? I am happy to be off whatever nightmare scenario we've been on. And it still sucks that we don't know what Kevin Durant feels. It sucks that we don't know if he wants to be on this team and if he's going to be mad, if he's going to get maybe, you know, my best guess is he'll be okay for the rest of this season, but he may push to get traded this offseason. And when this team has to trade Kevin Durant, you know, the party's over. This team is not going to be good. It's not going to contend for championships, at least that next year or the year after. Like, they're going to be one of those teams who has a bunch of draft picks and some interesting young players, but it's not going to be a championship team. And we hoped with Kyrie Irving that this team and Kevin Durant would be championship contenders. And the best that they've been is Kevin Durant's toe stepped on the line, you know? And is this the obituary for the clean sweep era, or is this a new chapter?
Mike, you better keep your bat phone handy, because I think we're not done this trade season. I think that there's got to be more.
What do you want? Not even specific players. You can tell me specific players, but is there a type of guy now looking at the roster, right? So they have Dinwiddie in replace of Kyrie Irving in a way. They have more wing defenders than they even know what to do with, frankly, or just wings, like shooters and defenders and guys who both can shoot and defend. They have Claxton. They still don't have a backup center.
Yeah.
You know, we're waiting to see if that happens. What would you like? Are you on the Ben Simmons? Let's trade this.
I'm still, this guy? And I hate this. I might be the last guy on this train, but I'd like the version of this team where Ben Simmons is actually back to where he was and really good. I know that's perpetually going to be what people say about him. That'll follow him around forever. And maybe I should just give up on that. I'm increasingly thinking I should, just because now it's just everywhere. All the people in my life just text me all the time being when are we going to trade Ben Simmons? so I might be alone in that. But in terms of replacements, see, I do kind of think that I love Spencer. I don't think he's exactly the primary playmaker. We've always been, and Kyrie's not this way either, yes, but that primary playmaker kind of the Chris Paul ilk, to be honest with you. Would be
Chris Paul now.
I kind of Fred Van Vliet around? I mean, there's been reason.
Yes.
If we can get a little Ben Simmons for Van Vliet, I mean, count me in. I don't think it keeps Durant around, but I think it looks good on paper.
Yeah, that's my thing is that I like Dinwiddie. I really like him as just the second guard. I like him as the guy who can take pressure off a primary ball handler, who can be a spot up shooter at times, can attack the basket, but I would still rather have sort of more of a real point guard, not that he's not a real point guard, but another force out there in the backcourt. I mean, that's why I'm interested about this idea that the Nets were talking to the Raptors today about something. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was Kyrie Irving, though, to send Kyrie to the country that cares most about vaccinations, maybe not the best idea in the world.
I don't know. Mark Cuban cares a lot about vaccinations too. I don't know if you know.
It seems like a lot of these guys who own teams, they act like they have morals, and then when it comes to winning basketball games, it maybe doesn't. Hey, by the way, congrats, Josiah. The Nets, via this trade, have shaved $20 million off their payroll, meaning you're going to save a whole bunch of money. I know all Nets fans are very happy.
Look at you bootlicking again, contra bootlicking.
I think if the Nets okay, would you trade Ben Simmons for Fred Van Vliet?
Yeah, I would. I think I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly? I think Van Vliet can be a free agent, so you have to be prepared that we're going to pay Fred Van Vliet $30 million a year.
That does change things.
Because if you trade for him, you have to be okay.
They put a lot of miles on him, too. Poor guy. He's got a bunch of hip stuff, isn't he? He's got old man injuries.
He's a tiny guy.
Yeah.
He's a tiny dude.
But he hits, my memory of Fred Van Vliet is always him hitting dagger threes and just right at the end of games and making life hard. And I like that. I've always wanted players like that.
And being a very tough defender, even though he's tiny.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a large man. I mean,
calling him small. How small is Fred Van Vliet? Is he really that small? How tall is he?
I think so. I think he's a tiny guy. He is 6'1".
Wow.
And if they're saying he's 6'1", then he's probably 5'2".
I say I'm 6'1", and I'm 5'11", baby.
This year he's averaging 20 points. I mean, he's basically Spencer Dinwiddie number. He's averaging 20 points, 4.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, 40% from the field, 35% from three. So those are kind of clunky.
Yeah.
It reframes the 20 points per game because that's like an inefficient 20 points per game.
Oh, before we also, because I can tell we're winding down a little bit. Before we go, I want everyone to disavow Kyrie Irving, all right? In the same way that I had to disavow James Harden. All of you, I mean, I know the Discord, I've already made my rounds and made people disavow. This goes out to the Twitter. Anyone else who's, if you want to send us an email saying you disavow, I'll take it in any kind of written, you know, if you want to type it out on a typewriter. But people were super aggressive towards me about disavowing James Harden, which I did, and I was happy to, more than happy to. But now I need it for Kyrie Irving. Because, I mean, the pattern is exactly the same. How about a 40-point blowout to the Boston Celtics right before he asks for a trade request and gets, I mean, hints, not shades, a complete solar eclipse of what happened with Harden in Sacramento, I think? I mean, come on, it's a direct parallel. Disavowals are required. I'm going to be expecting them.
I mean, this is... There's something going on around it. It's the seasonal defective disorder. We've talked about this before, right? There's something that happens to guards in Brooklyn that when it gets cold,
it gets chilly. There was an Arctic blast this weekend. And remember, Harden did not like the winter in New York, so he went to Philly. That was part of the, you remember that talking point.
Yeah. Because it's way southern. It's much more southern. Let me just say this. The Shams also reported that the Nets asked for Austin Reeves, Max Christie, pick swaps, in addition to Westbrook and two first-round picks. So pick swaps would probably be placed in between the 2027 and 2029 first-round picks. That when you make if the Nets had gone with that trade, then they would have had done a bunch of moves because then they would have used all of those picks and deals. I mean, I said it before, the Nets have three first-round picks to trade. Plus, they have some guys that other teams may want. So it's not out of the question to be like, I think Joe Harris is a positive for some teams. I think Seth Curry is a slight positive, is a positive for some teams, even though he's on an expiring deal. So if they make another trade, they have the ability to actually trade guys that other teams want as opposed to just like the Gerald Wallace types. Mm. If you remember how Gerald Wallace is the reason why the Garnett-Pierce trade ended up so badly because the Nets had to attach more first-round picks to get rid of Gerald Wallace. Before we go, Brian,
yeah,
I just had to fire off some shots about Kyrie
real
quick. Do you think that the money that Kyrie had to donate to Jewish causes, does he still have to do that, or is that not part of the trade? Because there are Jews in Dallas. My brother-in-law is from Dallas, and he's Orthodox Jew. Did you know that?
Wow, in Dallas, huh?
In Dallas. Do the people who carry water for Kyrie, do they move to Dallas or do they just work remotely?
I have so many questions about first of all, my big question is, how did I not know you had an Orthodox Jewish brother-in-law for 10 years? You've been hiding this from me? What's going on?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Got it. Fair. Say no more.
Because we only record on Friday nights or Saturday mornings and he's, you know, incognito.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know what the policy is there. I don't know. I don't know if he followed through with that all the way.
Do you think... I can't believe the Mavericks made this deal. Kyrie had that hurt calf. You know, he couldn't play in the last game against the Wizards because his calf was sore.
Oh, come on. I mean, come on. Everyone does that.
No. It said it on the report. I hope he has I pray for him to have a quick recovery.
Yeah.
I did a tribute sound clip for Kyrie. Let me pull that up for you. This is Kyrie talking to Nets fans.
I guess just read that God's going to destroy the earth next time by fire.
Oh, no, that's Alex Jones, one of the people that he promoted on Instagram. Sorry, one sec.
Yeah, well, I think the idea of white privilege is absolutely reprehensible. The idea that you can target an ethnic group with a collective crime, regardless of the specific innocence or guilt of the constituent elements of that group, there is absolutely nothing that's more racist than that.
Oh, that's Jordan Peterson, another guy that Kyrie boosted on his social media. Sorry, let me get to Kyrie's quote.
Everybody involved in this on the street level was either 24 to 32 years old. Everybody. It was a group of young black men, 5-on-1. Looked like gang violence to me. It looked like what young black men do when they're supervised by a single black woman.
Oh, no, sorry, that's Jason Whitlock talking on Fox News about what happened in Memphis with the Memphis police and the man who was completely unnecessary, just beat up by Memphis police officers. Another guy who Kyrie boosted on his Instagram. I apologize. You know, my wires must have gotten crossed, Brian, because I guess I was researching Kyrie Irving, right, and those are the names that came up. Alex Jones, Jordan Peterson, and Jason Whitlock. I apologize that got on our airwaves, because, you know, I wouldn't boost them like Kyrie Irving did.
Yeah. Good bit.
You know, the guy who claimed, you know, he's just here to make, you know, a positive impact in the world, which he's done a lot of. He's donated a lot of money to a lot of people. He's helped a lot of people. But he's also boosted, you know, those people. And I didn't even pull anything from the documentary, because
that's a spicy meatball.
I have a barrier. That's a spicy meatball. I have a place I wouldn't go to. So
the Whitlock to Fox News pivot was an interesting one. That's an interesting career path.
Jason Whitlock was the guy that Tony Kornheiser wanted to have. Like, once Michael Wilbon and Tony retired, the idea was Jason Whitlock would get that job. And do you know how good of a job PTI is? You work like you're on air for 30 minutes, but it's one of the most watched shows on ESPN that's not a sporting event. You paid,
I don't know, man. You see what Tucker Carlson makes and Sean Hannity? Those guys make insane money.
You're right. Yeah. So maybe Whitlock made the right choice. Is that what Brian says?
Business decision, as they say.
Final thoughts, Brian. Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm ultimately happy. Again, I still think that there's another part to this story with the Kevin Durant situation, which, you know, I'm praying for the best, but there was too much riffraff over the years. We couldn't mend the bridge. Something had to change. I'm glad that it happened in the way that it did, where there was no, you know, oh no, we're going to try to make it work with Kyrie. This is like posturing on either side. It just happened. It's done. Clean. Break. Do it. Do the thing. Set us off into this next chapter. It feels like we're turning the page halfway into the next chapter here.
Yeah. By the way, Kyrie gets a trade bonus because of it. I mean, I really feel for the Mavericks fans. You know, they believe that Mark Cuban's a good owner.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did at one point, and I cannot believe that I should have said this more at the top. I can't believe the Nets actually got like a decent package for Kyrie, because I don't know how many teams really want to give him the contract. The Nets get out of having to give him a contract, and they have moves to make, and we're going to be potting very soon.
And I will say this to those Mavs fans, like, truly enjoy the first part of it, right? Enjoy the next few months, because it's like the intervals of him like being engaged on court, it started okay, and then the intervals, they just kept ramping up until it was this crescendo at the end, of just like, now it's like every 3 weeks. Like, if he does 3 weeks of just showing up and playing basketball, it was like, oh, he's back. Things are good. And that was like, that was a marathon for him. So anyways, enjoy the beginning. That's what I'll say, because it is fantastic. It's super fun to watch. He is a phenom. It's amazing. So stack that enjoyment right up at the front.
Yeah. He's like a very spicy burrito. God, it tastes so good. But when it comes out of your asshole, it fucking burns. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, Mike. That's right. Watch out for that Diablo sauce at Taco Bell.
By the way, Diablo sauce is what Kyrie calls the vaccine.
Got him. There it is.
Check us out on Twitter, @BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself on the paywall at TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. I think the Nets will make another trade.
Yeah.
Another very big trade, maybe a couple of them.
Keep that microphone close, Michael. We'll be back.
Hold on to your butts.
We're going to be back here. All right. Bye, everybody.